The problem that I have, and I kind of wish this was a two-way discussion, is how do you deal with it if the client says, well, I'm not going to pay you any more money, and you're looking at the books like, well, I can't finish my project because you've made a mess that has kind of a domino effect to the stuff that I'm supposed to be working on.
Welcome to Gentle Frog's Bookkeeping Lily Pad, your cozy corner of the podcasting world, where numbers tell a story and bookkeeping blossoms into an adventure. My name is Rachel Barnett, and I'm glad you're here. This podcast is for bookkeepers who enjoy authentic, unfiltered, and always encouraging friend to chalk shop with. We will be discussing what it's like to own and operate a small bookkeeping business.
I saw a post in a group and I wanted to bring this up and just kind of talk about it and brainstorm it. I want to start by saying I don't have the answer of what to do, but I think it's important to think about. The situation was the bookkeeper said they were engaged to do some bookkeeping cleanup work for a client. The client hopped on a call and got a sense of what was wrong. And then the client decided to go back into QuickBooks and change things from the year 2020 through the year 2022. The bookkeeper's scope of work was to work on 2023 stuff. In order to work on 2023, they're now going to need to go back and correct some of this earlier stuff because the balances carry forward and things have gone haywire. The bookkeeper said they looked at the audit log and they're just overwhelmed. Like a huge amount of stuff has changed. They're not sure what they're going to do or how they're going to approach it or how to deal with it, frankly. Some of the people had said, oh, well, if you just put a closing date password, this wouldn't have happened. If you've worked much with QuickBooks Online, you know that's not true. A closing date password is kind of like a speed bump, and it only prevents people who are bad at Googling from making the changes that they really feel compelled to make. If the situation is that the client did go back and make changes, password, no password, they promised to stay out of it, but they didn't, it doesn't matter. The bookkeeper is now in this kind of crap position where they need to finish the project that they worked on. The client, I feel, is now in a crap position where they need to finish the work that they started, but also this additional work has been created. My thought is that the bookkeeper needs to go back and do a new diagnostic review and quote a new fee. Whatever money was already paid, that money was to go towards cleaning up this other stuff, the stuff that was wrong before the client started to help. Even if the client didn't want the bookkeeper to go back and correct all the things that they changed, there's still going to be stuff that's just different or wrong or not quite right. You're going to have to make some adjustments to the starting balances. I feel like it's unfair for the client to expect the bookkeeper to do any of these corrections for free because they weren't part of the original scope of work. The problem that I have, and I kind of wish this was a two-way discussion, is how do you deal with it if the client says, well, I'm not going to pay you any more money, and you're looking at the books like, well, I can't finish my project because you've made a mess that has kind of a domino effect to the stuff that I'm supposed to be working on. I'm not keeping track of how much I've done, and I don't give partial refunds. Up until this conversation came up in the group, our engagement letter didn't say anything about if the client goes in there and messes up old records, that it basically is going to forfeit the money they've paid for us to do the current cleanup. But I think it needs to. I think it needs to say something like that, and I'll work out better wording for it later. But I wanted to take a moment and just talk about it and just say, how are we going to deal with this? And how can we make our scope of work clear and better and precise? Let's take a step back. If a client comes to us and they say, hey, I've got a project. My stuff is weird. I need to be fixed. I don't know what to do. Our first step is to do a diagnostic review, to go over the QuickBooks, figure out what's going on, make a list of the things that are goofy, and then give a proposal that says, for these dollars, I will fix these things. If you've never put together a diagnostic review, or if you're not really comfortable with it, I have a course that I sell on my website that has a couple of examples of diagnostic reviews. There are other people that also have courses for sale that provide information about diagnostic reviews. My recommendation is to go watch the YouTube videos of the people you're considering buying from and just get a sense of their personality and teaching style and purchase a course from somebody who you feel like you can learn from. The first handful of diagnostic reviews you do, you're going to do it wrong. You're going to miss stuff and you're going to say, oh, I should have known better. But that's just how it is. It's like learning to ride a bike, or even worse, learning to drive a manual transmission car. When I learned to drive a manual, I understood the concept. You release the clutch and you press down on the gas and magically the car goes forward. There was a significant amount of time where that didn't happen. I would release the clutch, not press down on the gas, car didn't go forward. In fact, it just stalled out. Same thing is true for diagnostic reviews and projects. You're going to suck in the beginning, you'll get better, and every so often, you'll just stall out and think, oh, I've done this wrong. So let's imagine that you've reviewed the books, put together a diagnostic review, given a proposal. Client says, yep, I'm totally on board. I'd like to give you money. I'd like you to fix this thing. The next thing you have is the engagement letter. Your engagement letter is going to have kind of two main components. There's the scope of work or description of service, and then there's the legal bits and pieces that your attorney put together for you. The thing that I want to talk about and perfect myself is the scope of work, the description of service, the listing that says, for these dollars, I'll fix those things. I put it together in Anchor. I have a template that I fill out. And so it says, here are the bank accounts that I'm going to work on. And I list out the bank name, like the Chase checking account number 1234, the Bank of America credit card number 4567. It will list out all the bank savings credit card accounts. I'll list out the PayPal account if applicable. I'll list out any loans they might have. I'll then go into the details such as we're going to record any income that happens that's not already in QuickBooks. We'll record the income as a sales receipt or an invoice based on the information we find from your point of sale, external records, whatever. Or maybe we're going to enter it as a deposit. We've learned to get clear on how we're going to enter the income because we had a client once that sold their products via eBay and so forth. And he was really disappointed that we didn't make a sales record for every single client for every single purchase. It wasn't in our scope of work. And our scope of work is much more clear now. One of my girlfriends gave me great advice. She said, the clients can tell us what they want to have done, such as, I need you to record my income, but not how we're going to do it. It's not up to the clients to dictate to us how we're going to log the income. We've just gotten more clear about saying it. When I think back to this original situation, you've got a client. Client has messy books. You're doing a cleanup on the messy books, and the client goes in there and makes them more messy. That's frustrating. Let's say, for example, the checking account, it was okay, and the stuff from 2023 is what you're working on, but then the client goes in there and changes stuff, and so now it's wrong going back to 2021. If your scope of work just said, I'm going to work on the checking account number 1234, you're going to be missing some significant stuff. You might be inadvertently obligating yourself to go work on the checking account going back to 2021. One of the things that I've started putting in the engagement letter is that we're going to work on your records dated from, say, 1/1/23 through 12/31/23. Having a start date helps the client understand where you're going to begin working on the records. Having an end date helps the client understand where you're going to stop. Megan and I had a situation recently where a client hired us in the fall to get their records caught up. They're a do-it-yourself client. They were going to maintain the books on their own. It took them a while to get us all of the records so we can finish updating their stuff. And by a while, I mean it happened after the new year. This very same client said, oh, here's my statements for the rest of the year going through December. We reached out to the client and said, hey, totally cool. Just letting you know, you only paid for us to work on this through a certain point in the fall. If you'd like us to work on the fourth quarter records, we're happy to, but we need to charge you for it. It was uncomfortable because the client was upset. The client felt like we should just include fourth quarter. I'm not really sure. If the client had sent us everything when they'd signed up, we would have been done with the whole thing well before Halloween. We would never have been worrying about what to do with October, November, and December. There are situations like these examples that I've given you where you get to learn something. What I've learned and what I've tried to do going forward after each engagement letter, I think about, was I clear enough? Was I descriptive enough? Was there anything that I should have included that I didn't include? I've mentioned before that I lean a lot on Seth David. Seth David has Nerd Enterprises, 97 and up. He's also got a really great weekly newsletter. One of his newsletters I liked a lot said, clear is kind. What he's saying there is that it's to everyone's benefit for you to be super clear about what someone's going to receive from you. My description of service is not meant to be a gotcha. It's not meant to be exclusionary or unkind or limiting. My description of service is just meant to be, here is a very clear description, start dates, end dates, accounts, all the things that we're going to do so that nobody is unsure. I really want to eliminate the gray area. I don't want anyone to awkwardly wonder if I'm going to do something for them. And by I mean Megan. I really spend most of my day creating content and providing one-on-one training for people. Megan spends her day going through courses and learning things, but also providing bookkeeping services for our clients. In the discussion where this had come up, somebody had suggested that if the bookkeeper had just used Rewind, they would be able to go back and fully restore the books to a time before they got weird. I like the idea of this, and I wish I loved the idea of Rewind, but I just don't. I do think there is a time and place for a Rewind, but I think more than that, it's important to know before you go rely on some sort of backup software that you're familiar with how it works. What happens when you go to restore something? Does it put it back exactly as it was? What are the limitations for it? While creating the diagnostic review and cleanup courses, I ended up using Rewind because I wanted to demonstrate something. I really thought that it was going to work. And I'm like, okay, here I am with QuickBooks. I've got Rewind and I've been backing up and now I'm going to delete a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to restore it so that I can demonstrate how to deal with it differently. It ended up not working the way that I wanted. I went back later, created videos specifically for the purpose of putting them on YouTube. I don't think it's a bad product. I just think that it's not the end all be all. I'll link my video in the notes. I would encourage everyone here to go get a Rewind account, pay $15, back up something for a couple of weeks, delete a few things, restore the backup, and really see for yourself what it does. This isn't because I'm trying to get you to see the flaws. This is because it's important to know what software is out there and how does the software work. Because if you ever find yourself in a position where a bunch of stuff is missing, you'll be glad that you knew in advance about Rewind because you might have set it up and installed it on that client file and you might have had it there as peace of mind because it would solve and fix some of your problems. I think the legalese part of an engagement letter should be and is likely to be very specific to your business. I don't particularly think sharing that is going to have a lot of value. If you're not in a position where you can have an attorney write up the legalese for your engagement letter, maybe take a look at various online stores that sell you legal templates. See if you can find something that might work until you can get to the point where you can hire an attorney. What I think would be interesting and beneficial, if anybody is at all interested, would be to share our template of our description of service. What stuff do you automatically include? For me, I've got a template with some placeholders. I replace the text in the placeholders with the specific text that applies to the situation. Like I'm going to start on your records on month, month, day, day, year, year, and I'm going to end on month, month, day, day, year, year. Having templates or seeing other people's template might be the sort of thing that helps everybody because we're able to see what other people are doing and be more clear and more specific when communicating with our clients. It's not one of those weird competition things. It doesn't matter if we have exactly the same template. Each one of us is going to work with a different client. If we end up working with the exact same client because for some reason one person's not a good fit and the other person is, who cares? If you're interested in seeing what I have in my template, let me know. Maybe we can hop into the Facebook group, Gentle Frogs Bookkeeping Lily Pad, and share with each other what sort of things we're putting in our scope of work, just so we can try to help each other make sure we cover all our bases and have clear communication with our clients. I hope this podcast episode has been helpful. As I kind of make my way through the chaos of busy season, I'm dropping this down to once a week-ish. Once we get back on a good rhythm, I'd like to pick it back up again. But just like you guys, I run a small business and there's ebbs and flows of my energy, of my ability to think creatively, and frankly, my time for fun projects. This is definitely a fun project. So sometimes you get what you get. I hope you have a great week. You're always welcome to reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook, Gentle Frogs Bookkeeping Lily Pad. You can also email me, rachel@gentlefrog.com. If you want to book a call with me, go to gentlefrog.com and go to the meeting link. Thanks again.